Celebrating the power of possibility. Heller and Hilton Hill presents
Anything is Possible, Radio Edition.
Brought to you by Provision Cares Cancer Center, featuring proton therapy. One campus, one focus, cancer. Today's guest, Elaine Streno.
Welcome to Anything is Possible. These are great stories about great people. These are my friends, though, whose lives prove that anything is possible. And when I met Elaine Streno 25 years ago.
Probably 22.
22 years ago. I remember being introduced to you by Bobby Denton.
Mm-hmm.
You were sitting in his office, as I remember. I was going by, and he goes, hey, come here. Put this lady on the radio. And from there, started a friendship. You are a fabulous person. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's an honor. Thanks.
You had such a passion for helping people. And it wasn't just, I need to raise some money for an organization that I'm in, or I need some publicity for an organization that I'm in. It was real, palpable passion. Where did that come from?
So, I had a very chaotic childhood. We moved a lot. My dad just made terrible choices, underlined terrible. And we needed food on occasion. We needed help. We needed a church. We needed all kinds of craziness. And I remember thinking during that time, if I could just give back someplace, I would really like to do that. Mm-hmm. And when we started talking last week, I don't put that out there usually. It makes people uncomfortable, really, because they don't want to know about the chaos, and I get that. I wish I didn't even talk about it sometimes, but then, on the other hand, Halloran, it turns everybody around to go, you know what? Anybody could be hungry at some point, right? I mean, anybody could lose your job, but I relate to the people who really are trying to raise their children. Because that's what my mother did. She was our rock, and she raised us. And it's all a tribute to her, really.
What's her name?
Betty.
Betty. And is Betty still alive?
No. Betty passed away in 2008 on her own means. She just got tired of doing chemo and said, done. Girls, I'm leaving. So we've had to deal with that, which has stunk. As you know, you've lost your parents.
So let's talk about your dad, because we were in the middle of a conversation at a fundraiser, and I've been known to ask additional questions.
Yes, you were the only one who went, really, what kind of a con man was he?
So, because you said my dad was a con man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what did he do? And you said, oh, I don't know. And you started running this list of cons, and you got to bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your dad. What's his name?
Okay, his name, depending on what year it was Charles, Chuck. He just was, it's funny, my sister, she's a counselor, and I called her last week because I've never gotten that far out there with, like I did with you last week. And I to explain my father, he was just a narcissist. He was just a sociopath who just had no conscience. So his cons were multiple. He would say, I've been called to be a preacher, and the church would give him money, and of course he'd take it. He embezzled when he had a real job, and it grew. As we got older and away from him, his deeds got crazier. And robbing the bank was just probably the most god-awful, worst thing my poor mother had to do, because she was still living with him. She didn't let go early, as I wish she had with my dad, so... It was just mortifying.
What happened when he robbed the bank?
Well, he wasn't very good at it, and he got caught. And it was on the front page of the Nashville paper. These utility guys saw the dye blow up, and, you know, it wasn't very long after he left the bank. So
I would believe, though, that would bring a level of humiliation to you, your sisters. You have a brother?
I had a brother, yeah, and it hurt him the most. Actually, and we'll talk about that if I can get through it without crying. We all were married by this time, so at least we didn't have the same name. But we were so used to his craziness But this was over the top in so many levels, you know, just public and, oh, it was horrible. It's so embarrassing.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, let's kind of plumb a little bit deeper, because it really does inform the passion that you have for the work that you do. And I didn't realize that, because when you see a family and they're trying to find something to eat and life is upside down, either because of choices or circumstance or both, you understand what that feels like.
I absolutely do.
This is Elaine Strenno. You're watching Anything is Possible.
Anything is Possible.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information. This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by ProVision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible. This is Elaine. Thank you for trusting me with your story.
You're welcome.
So you haven't talked about this before. You haven't talked about the con man that was your father, but he was your father, mm-hmm. because you wanted to distance yourself from that pain. And you said the bank robbery was, that was just, that was it. Your brother took it hardest.
Yes.
What did your brother say about it?
Well, it wasn't what he said, but so my mother, four kids, four little brats, and she was like, we are going to be better people than what we are, you are dealing with right now. We are all going to be better. But my brother, he just was not able to emotionally distance himself from my father. So I don't blame my dad from my brother, but unfortunately, when he was 33, somewhere in the nuts of it all, he started smoking crack. 2 years later, he was dead. So that was in 98. So my dad was in prison when he died. Just, you know, just trash. Anyway, we miss him very much. The only thing that could have come out of it that has helped me even more is that demon of addiction and how much we wanted to help Sonny, but you know this. Anybody that know, we all know an addict. When you have one in your family, it's, and you love them as much as we loved him, it was very painful. And when I meet with Bert or drive down Broadway, it renews it for me in that regard.
And so when you're doing this work and you're seeing people from all stations of life,
yes, we are,
in need of help,
yes,
you're extending the help that belongs to your brother,
yes,
and to everybody
absolutely.
Else. You see a little piece of them in everything you do.
Absolutely. Yesterday we got a call. We get calls for that people need food all the time. We serve 18 counties. Believe me, it is everywhere. And this woman, our assistant, answers the phone, and she's great. And we get these calls all the time, but this one I could tell really bothered her. And I said, when she said, I really would like you to talk to agency relations, I said, Nancy, what was up? And this grandmother had called, and she's crying because her son is an alcoholic, and her daughter-in-law is working as hard as she can, but her grandchildren need food. You know, if I hadn't lived it, you'd go, oh, that's too bad. But you lived it, so you know how you want to help these people and how I want this community to understand that it is everywhere. You know, it really is.
When I met you 22 years ago, mm-hmm. There's no way I would have believed that your story had all of these things. And you've been through a lot in your life.
Yeah, I mean, what we all have. Life is difficult, and we all know that.
But look at what you just did just then, right? We're talking about what you've been through, and you batted it aside.
Well,
right? Not to dismiss it.
No, didn't.
But
right.
as an act of, I will not, this won't be a boat anchor.
Correct.
This is not going to hold me down or hold me back.
Right.
Because I would imagine that's what you witnessed your mother do, was power through.
Well, the thing that, and I have told the story bits and pieces, but of course nobody opened me up like you have. My mother was not a victim. I think the victim mentality can damage people almost as much as the addiction gene. She would, and we were not victims. We will improve our lives and we will do better. And we weren't going to blame it on blah, blah, blah. She wasn't going to blame it on the fact that she married my father. She wasn't going to blame it on anything. She just, I didn't make a good decision, but that doesn't mean it's going to screw my life up for the rest of her life. And she didn't.
But isn't that the essence of possibility?
Absolutely.
Which is believing that things can be better or different than they are.
Absolutely. And I hate so much that so many people don't have that kind of cheerleader, you know? I mean, I had a cheerleader, so as, and my sisters and my brother did too. No matter how bad it got, and trust me, it got crazy, we're going to get better, we're going to improve, we're going to do this, and she pushed us in the direction that, you know, and I don't think I've done this perfectly. I have not. I've screwed up royally many times, but her not being a victim was a huge eye-opener for me, and I don't like people playing that card. I don't.
What did you like fight through?
Yeah, please do.
Believe that something
right.
can be better.
Please, yeah.
So what did your mother tell you to help you process this? Other than we're going to be better, as she worked through it and she was helping you work through it, because I would imagine this would inform relationships.
Oh,
this would inform work. This would inform whether or not you could ever trust a man in your life. This would inform what you would tell your daughters about trusting men.
Right.
And everything that goes with that. So I'd imagine that she collaborated with you in processing this so that it wouldn't take you out.
Right. Well, absolutely. And it did, you know, my first husband wasn't the right choice for me, but I chose him at 22 instead of 42, you know. This was all a progression,
right.
But I made sure my daughters knew this. There's you. Let's do better. And they have made great choices, and I'm so proud of them. But yes, it does impact. So to answer your question, I think I told you this last week. That college degree to her was a pot of gold. It was just because she didn't have an education at that time. So this is what we're going to do. We, her children, are going to go to college. And that's all we knew. You know, we had to get to a college because that was just something that was very important to her. And she was such an incredible woman. When all of this got left behind, she went back to college. She got her degree and then she got her master's. So, you know, you have that kind of an example. You're not going to screw up very much. You're just not.
So it sounds like to me, your level of resilience and your level of intensity, persistence, is really rooted in, if it didn't break her, it better not break me.
Absolutely. That's
and
exactly right.
I owe it to her.
Absolutely.
To be a survivor, not a victim.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you nailed it.
Do you think part of that was, he let you down, I'm not going to?
Probably. But we did have love in our house. My mother's friends loved us. We knew there was a support system. I resent very much any Father's Day material that if you don't have a powerful father in your life, you're back. I go crazy because you don't have to have a powerful father. You don't have to have a powerful mother. You just need someone rooting for you. Just happened to be my mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
then it makes all the sense in the world. The work that you do makes all the sense in the world to me. By what you just said, you don't have to have the perfect father, perfect mother. You have to have somebody rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're doing, rooting for people?
I never thought about that. Do you have a degree in psychology in addition to everything else? I think I am, you know, because I don't want them caught in that lifestyle for the rest of their lives. I want them to move. I want them to get better. Some won't, but some will. And I think that's probably why we all do what we do at Second Harvest.
Mm. And I know you have a love and a passion for it.
I do.
Well, you've also, though, through all of what you've been through, you've built a pretty neat life. You met a really great guy.
I did.
you got to turn a new chapter. Talk about that.
Well, I'm a big believer in Oprah and some of her beliefs, and she has a gratitude journal that I every day, and I am so in awe of where I am because of Glenn and my two daughters and our two stepsons and my great friends, just a support system that's insane. I never thought it could be as good as it is now. Does that make sense? I'm just so grateful.
Well, I remember, and we'll talk about this after a break, I remember when I met you, you had a different last name.
I did.
Right. And I remember one day you came in to do the show, and you said, my name is Elaine Streno.
Yeah.
And your face was just, in fact, you brought him with you.
Yeah.
And your face was just lit up. So I want to talk about finding love later and how that changed and transformed your life. This is Elaine Streno. You're watching Anything is Possible.
Anything is Possible.
This episode of Anything is Possible is brought to you by Provision Cares Cancer Center. One call, one focus, cancer. Call 844-455-8600 for more information.
Anything.
I have the ultimate lady of all with me, Pat Summitt.
Thank you, Howard.
Is
the one and only Con Hunley.
Thank you, Howard.
Possible.
Ashley Capps, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
Anything is Possible, Radio Edition. Radio Edition.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible. My name is Hallard Hilton Hill, and my guest today is Elaine Streno, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
I've so enjoyed watching your life flourish and blossom. First of all, when you went to Second Harvest, I remember where you were. I remember trying to raise money. I remember trying to get people to believe in the vision you had. Then I remember just seeing the surge of volunteer support kind of moving around the organization. I remember you attracting a really passionate board of directors. Mm-hmm. And then there was this convergence that happened. And before I knew it, a whole new facility. You guys were serving a whole lot more people. But I think the seed of all of that was your legitimate, authentic passion, not for food, although that's part of it, but for helping people. I mean, because you have been helped. I knew there was something more to your story because the passion that you have for what you do is more than just, there's an authenticity to it that really is rooted in something much deeper. One of the ways, though, that you've been rewarded, and I wonder if you could even enjoy the love that you have now if you hadn't been through what you've been through, is you found love.
Yes, I did.
And I remember when it happened because your whole countenance changed because you're a tough lady. You're a survivor.
Well, thanks.
And you don't take BS. And I mean, and I saw everything about you just change.
Well, it was just so nice to be given a second chance, you know, because it didn't work out the first time. And, you know, you hate it, but I am just so grateful that I got a second chance at a strong marriage with a wonderful guy. And, you know, you can get cynical if you're in a pretty crappy situation. And it's just, I'm so grateful that I had
So talk about how gratitude worked to peel off the scales of cynicism and kind of bring about a rebirth. And then talk about, as we close, how gratitude creates possibility.
I think the biggest thing, when I look back on where I came from, there was always gratitude. But it got deeper as I got older. And if I had a little peak of success, I would pull that in. Gosh, Elaine, maybe you are kind of smarter. Maybe you could do this. And, you know, then you start small. I mean, you're grateful for your children. You thank God every day for them. But then you thank for your friends and for everything. And I really feel that everybody is put on this earth for a purpose. And so many don't get there because of addiction or because of mental illness or because of that. But so that gratitude journal just started flowing, and the more grateful I got, the better life got, because you don't focus on the negative. You're focusing on the positive. So I don't know if that was the answer you wanted, but that's...
No, that's the right answer, because I do believe that that's one thing that all possibility people share is at some point they become grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And gratitude creates a shift in awareness. Especially when you keep a gratitude journal, it's not that there's more good stuff happening in your life. It's that the search for that for which to be grateful changes your awareness of the things for which to be grateful. They're there the whole time.
Absolutely.
Right. This glass of Diet Dr. Pepper with ice in it that Jerome put the ice in it because he saw it was getting, you know, warm. I'm grateful for that. I might not have noticed that 10 years ago because I would be so focused on, we got to get it done, got to get it done. So in searching for things for which to be grateful, your awareness changes. And when your awareness changes, you're available for all the good things that were always there all along.
Right.
So, and that's why I appreciate your story and for you taking the risk to tell your story.
Oh, thanks.
Because here's why. Somebody like you going through what you went through will be a clue to somebody else that no matter what you're going through, something better is possible.
Absolutely.
Like you don't have to surrender to that.
Right.
You don't have to go, this happened. I had the wrong kind of dad. I had the wrong kind of upbringing. I had the wrong kind of social structure. I had the wrong kind of whatever. So it means I'm the wrong kind of person.
Right.
That can be what happened to you, but it doesn't have to be you.
Right.
And the minute you realize that that's what happened to me, but that's not me, and the minute you believe in possibility, anything is possible.
I agree.
I think you're blessing a lot of people because of who you are and how you are.
Thanks.
Thanks for telling your story, because it makes what you do even deeper and richer, and it makes you, I mean, you're a fighter, right?
I am that, yeah. But I come from good stuff.
So, yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Elaine Strenow, proof positive that anything is possible. We'll see you next time.